From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Our text is found in verses 23 through 29, the testimony to the faith of Moses. Dr. Cairns has already mentioned the faith of Moses' parents, who spared their son in spite of the king's command. In God's providence, Moses' mother was chosen to nurse him after he was found in the river by Pharaoh's daughter. Now we'll see how Moses' early training led him to reject the pagan culture of Egypt, to become the leader and deliverer of the children of Israel. By separating himself from Egypt, always a type of the world, Moses demonstrated the courage of his faith. He chose suffering rather than the sinful lifestyle of Egypt. He calculated that the reproach of Christ far exceeded the riches of Egypt. His sight of Christ gave him great confidence in the face of Egypt's might. Consequently, Moses was entirely consecrated to God. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message called Faith's Conflict, Cross, and Crown. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Psalm 97 and verse 10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Thou hast good reason to hate evil, for only consider what harm it has already wrought thee. Oh, what a world of mischief sin has brought into thy heart! Sin blinded thee so that thou couldst not see the beauty of the Savior. It made thee deaf so that thou couldst not hear the Redeemer's tender invitations. Sin turned thy feet into the way of death, and poured poison into the very fountain of thy being. It tainted thy heart, and made it deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Oh, what a creature thou wast, when evil had done its utmost with thee, before divine grace interposed. Thou wast an heir of wrath, even as others. Thou didst run with the multitude to do evil. Such were all of us. But Paul reminds us, But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. We have good reason indeed for hating evil, when we look back and trace its deadly workings. Such mischief did evil do us, that our souls would have been lost had not omnipotent love interfered to redeem us. Even now it is an active enemy, ever watching to do us hurt and drag us to perdition. Therefore hate evil, O Christians, unless you desire trouble. If you would strew your path with thorns and plant nettles in your death pillow, then neglect to hate evil. But if you would live a happy life and die a peaceful death, then walk in all the ways of holiness, hating evil even unto the end. If you truly love your Savior and would honor Him, then hate evil. We know of no cure for the love of evil in a Christian like abundant intercourse with the Lord Jesus. Dwell much with Him, and it is impossible for you to be at peace with sin. Order my footsteps by Thy word, and make my heart sincere. Let sin have no dominion, Lord, but keep my conscience clear.
Thank you.
What is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
this church is a suffering church. We do suffer. Some of you here today have felt the deep agony of suffering. How the devil wants to use that suffering, as he did in the case of Job, to put a wedge between you and your God. But remember this, we do not suffer alone. The reproach is always the reproach of Christ. Listen to the testimony of God's word. You remember that great passage in Matthew chapter 25? That judgment day scene where the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 34 says, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me." And the righteous say, "Lord, when did we ever see you unhungered and fed you, or thirsty and give you drink, etc.?" Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Too often when we read that passage, we focus so much on the idea of the Lord rewarding us for what we do for Him that we miss the very simple truth. Can you see a believer, poor, hungry, thirsty, suffering? Jesus says, "When they hunger, I hunger. When they are thirsty, it is I who is thirsty." The hymn writer put it beautifully. There's not a pain that rends the heart, but that the man of sorrows hath a part. When Saul of Tarsus was stopped on the Damascus road, Jesus said, "Why persecutest thou me? Why persecutest thou me?" Therefore, we should, as Hebrews 13 and verse 13 says, "Go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. In all your sufferings, he suffers." Let that be the confidence of faith. Rather than having the time of difficulty, the time of trial, drive God's people from the Lord, let it be a time when faith lays hold of Christ. If there's one prayer that I would have for you and for me, it would be the grace of God to anoint our eyes with that eye salve of the Holy Ghost that would enable us to see Christ in every situation. That when the dark passages of life come, when you're reproached, when you're hated, when you're despised, when you're impoverished, when your body's suffering, when your circumstances are straitened, and the devil comes and whispers with the insidious hiss of the old serpent in your ear, "If God loved you, why this? If Christ were yours, why would you suffer this?" When he comes, oh, that you would be able to see Christ and realize that though you're a king in Christ, yet on this earth, you're a disciple of the man of sorrows, who was acquainted with grief, who was brought down with great heaviness to the grave, and that you walk the way of the cross in company with Christ when you walk as Moses did, the road of affliction, esteeming that greater treasures than anything that Egypt could offer. The message is very simple, really. This is the heart of separation. I preached a message some time ago in this pulpit from Hebrews 13 on biblical separation, if you remember. And the whole heart of separation is not just, well, I'm not this and I'm not that and I'm not the other thing. Oh, certainly there is the refusal. But the whole heart of separation is separation unto Christ. As I say, the message is simple. God's people would rather suffer and have Christ than reign like kings with the monarchs of the earth and be without Christ. The only joy for a Christian is Christ. The only peace for a Christian is Christ. The only riches for a Christian are the riches of Christ. The only satisfaction is Christ. He could have everything else, but if he has no sight of Christ, he's miserable. That's what it is to be a Christian. Therefore, faith looks for Christ in the darkest day. That's why in verse 27, the thought moves from one of separation to consecration. You'll notice by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now notice that this verse refers to Moses' whole ministry before Pharaoh and his final triumphant departure. I have only time to outline this. Watch it carefully. Faith will always have to face three things. A fight. There is the conflict. There is the wrath of a Pharaoh. There is the hatred of the old devil and all his minions. There is a fight. Then there is a fright. The devil will seek to put you under the bondage of fear. If the devil can get God's people to be a frightened, timid people, then he will get them to be a defeated people. But faith refuses to be afraid of a mere man. It does not react to the fright that suddenly comes upon it. It endures because it looks beyond man and the devil, and it sees him who is invisible. And then it has a flight out of Egypt and on the way to Canaan. You see, faith is not content to stay in Egypt. Now watch this carefully. Faith couldn't stay in Egypt when it was the place of defeat and bondage for the people of God. Faith can't lie down in bondage. It wants to soar to the heights of victory. But notice this. Faith could not stay in Egypt even when God was moving in triumphant power there. Faith can't even lie down in the place of its greatest triumphs. It is the heart of a faith in Christ that it is always moving forward. It is always Canaan bound. Can't be otherwise. This is the heart of consecration, forsaking Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, and enduring because it sees him who is invisible. Faith separation. Then it's consecration. And finally, very quickly, verse 28 and 29. Here's the crown. After the conflict, after the cross, here's the crown. Faith's vindication. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Verse 29, passed through the Red Sea, and the Egyptians, trying to do the same, were drowned. The believer has two great vindications in this world. The first one, verse 28, is at the cross, the place of the sprinkled blood, or the shed blood. He kept the Passover. Now that vindication is the vindication of our justification. Your faith, my friend, challenged by the devil, hated by the devil, cursed by the devil, undermined by the world, mocked by the ungodly, held up to ridicule, even by your friends at times, your faith was vindicated at Calvary because you were justified by faith. Your guilt was removed. You were established in a ground of legal acceptance with God. And let the devil rant and rail. Let the world deride or pity. When you can stand in the presence of God at Calvary and say, my sin is washed away by the blood. My guilt is removed by Christ. And I am justified and accepted in Christ and clothed with His righteousness. You have all the vindication you need. That's the first great vindication that God gives His people in the world at the cross. But He gives them another one. And that's at the Jordan. Or at the sea, if you want it. They came to the Red Sea, which will speak to us. And I think I'm not pushing this too far, because they came the second time to the waters in the days of Joshua, and it was the literal Jordan. It speaks to me of the Jordan of death. It speaks to me of going through the deep waters. And God gave them the vindication there. I want to tell you, there are waters that are uncrossable except by the people of God. When you come to the great sea or river of death, I want to tell you, God's people go through on dry land. God's people go through, and I want you to notice this very carefully, they follow the ark of God. You read it carefully. The children of Israel didn't walk into the waters. No, sir. The priests walked into the waters bearing the ark. A picture of Christ going in. And will you notice this? Christ really was the only one that ever felt death. We don't feel it. We simply go through a door from this world into the nearer presence of God. We go through on dry land. Christ at the sea and later at the Jordan. Christ felt the death. Christ felt the chill of the waters of death. We have no such chill. We go through vindicated, for He is our salvation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.